Good morning. How many of you guys brought a Bible today? Oh, man, that's amazing. Okay, keep it shut. Just wanted to see if, you had it. And by the way, if you're visiting, too, Calvary Chapel teaches the Bible. And we teach it book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I'm really grateful for that. And one of the reasons is because I've been able to, over the last 26 years, walk through the Bible, I think, I don't know, over 7 times, but have listened to and studied and taught it. I can tell you, I can walk into any environment. Last weekend, I was in a Pentecostal church in Guatemala City, Guatemala. I can go into Cambodia. I can go into Africa. I can go into all the places around the world, and I can walk in, and I have a very strong understanding of God's Word, and so I'm able to walk with my brothers and sisters in the Lord who actually have a different style of methodology, but in the end, they all have the same Jesus. Many of them, you know. So I love that God took me to Calvary Chapel. It was my first experience. I was 31 years old when I went in, 28 years old when I walked into church the very first time. Imagine being 28 and never going to church. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know nothing about born again. I mean, I come from 4 generations of seriously heathen, filthy dog pigs. I'm just going to leave it at that. Today I'm going to be sharing about we and us. We and us. There is a we and us. The we is Pam and I. I have been married to, for 30 years, the most extraordinary woman of God that I have ever met in my entire life. She is seriously one of the most extraordinary women because she really understood the gospel. And she understood that when she found herself rededicating her life on September 30th, 1987, that it was real. Because every moment and every day of her life now, the filter is, she pours out on others what God did for her on that day. And that's the gospel. Now, before we get any further into the message, I want you to know I'm not going to do an art demonstration here today. This really is in the Bible. If I was a glass blower, this thing would all blow up. You can't find it in the Bible. But the potter and the clay, all throughout the Bible. Now, I want you to know, I didn't go to church till I was 28, but I walked into a pottery studio when I was 14, and the moment that I touched clay, I actually have pictures of me in my office at 15 and a half years old. I got 3 pictures. One with Pastor Joe and Foch and Don McClure, and I'm in the middle, and we turned our backs. We took a picture to remind me that I'm a man under authority. There's a picture of my bride, and then behind me is a picture of a 15-year-old Mike Rozelle throwing a 5-foot vase. So God would remind me every day that this was a gift that I gave you, and you don't get to be the potter. I'm the potter, you're the clay. But I'm going to give you a gift in a way, in a manner, that 1 in 10,000 potters can do what you do from the very first time you touch clay. Now, it took me 20 years to realize that. I was like that. If I was a piano player, I'd be that kid that couldn't reach the pedals, but play Chopin. You know, they always show me like on the shows. That's who I was as a kid. And actually, I've got to lead the 2 teachers that I had, my professors, came out and saw Pottersville and ended up getting saved. And they recognized the gift. And they now heard why I had the gift. Mary, I met Pam in 1987. And I want to tell you just quickly about my wife. My wife and I grew up in 2 different homes. I grew up in California. She grew up in Georgia. Pam doesn't know a day in her time in her life she wasn't in church. 11-year-old girl, heard the gospel, came forward and received Christ as her Savior. My wife loved Jesus. Loved Jesus. She did all the things that Christian kids do. She just loved being in church and grew up in that environment. And she also will tell you in her own personal testimony at 17, she shared her faith publicly for the very first time at a beauty pageant, Miss Thomasville, Georgia. It's a really small town in South Georgia, and she went out for it, and she actually won Miss Thomasville. We still have that thing, you know, in the house. By the way, they're not real diamonds. So she won Miss Thomasville, and then she went to the Miss Georgia. Now, this is like, it's big. It's a state, right? She won Miss Georgia, and then she went to Miss America. Yeah, and if you're wondering, she finished in the top 50 there at Miss America. Yeah. But my wife, she got a degree from journalism from the University of South Carolina, and she finished her last class, didn't even wait for the cap and gown deal. She was on her way to New York, beeline, because she had this passion and desire. And that passion and desire was to be in a Broadway musical. She gets an apartment, starts going on auditions, and casts almost immediately in the Broadway musical 42nd Street. And she actually does three companies of that show, from the chorus to the starring role, Dorothy Brock. Before my wife was 25 years old, the amount of money that she was making and the gifts and the talents that she was being able to use, she had a great level of worldly success before she was 25. But it was also there in New York that something started to happen. She started to move from an eternal purpose for her life to a temporal and secular. And it happened very subtly. Pam didn't wake up on a Friday morning and go, "Hey, it's Pam, you want to backslide with me this weekend?" No, it wasn't like that. It was little bits of compromise, little bits of compromise, little bits of compromise, little bits of compromise. Compromise, 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 compromise. And over 7 years of little bits of compromise, she now finds herself so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where she met me. You can laugh, it's funny. But she met me, and I had no idea about her relationship with God because she never talked about it. We had a very worldly relationship. 3 weeks after we met, we went to Las Vegas and got married. Don't ever do that. 4 nights after we got married, though, my wife ran back to church for the first time in 7 years because she realized she had just married Satan. This is the devil's kid. She married a man who had an 18-year alcohol addiction, 11-year cocaine addiction, a mind polluted with pornography, and had 4 warrants out for his arrest, and she didn't even know it. I know. And I still hadn't met her parents yet. She ran to a church on September 30th, 1987, on a Wednesday night. And there Pastor Chuck was teaching in Romans 7, the end of it. "O wretched man am I, who can rescue me from this body of death? But praise be to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore there is now no condemnation, there is no guilt for those who are truly in Christ Jesus." That night, at the end of the service, my wife runs to this altar. And she's broken like a noodle. I can't tell you, and I'm in the back, and I'm like, "What is this? Man, this is the weirdest place I've ever seen. Lady with gray hair, and this guy's all inked up. They got their hands in the air. This is what I'm doing the whole time. I'm going, this is one weird joint, you know. And what is she doing up there talking to that old man with the bald head, you know? And he's, you know, they're praying, and she came back off that altar, and she came running up to me. She goes, Mike. I'm going, "Yeah." I mean, she looked like radioactive, man. She was like fuel injected. "Mike, yeah, I'm born again. I'm born again." And I'm like, "Are you still Miss Georgia? I mean, what's that?" I didn't know. What do you guys see? Clay. That's what it is. No trick question. It's clay. If Einstein was here, he'd see clay. If Bill Gates, along with his friend Warren Buffett. What do you see, guys?
Clay.
You're right. What I see with 8 pounds of clay is this. You guys see the difference? And let me say this to you. I could put this in a hole for a billion years, and it's never going to turn out like this. I could blow this up, and it's not going to turn out like this. So you see, I took 8 pounds of clay, I molded it, I shaped it, I fired it, I filled it, and now I'm the one that uses it. I'm here today because I had people in my life, it started with my wife, that never saw me like this, but inspired me to be all that God would have me be. And that takes a lifetime. Let me say this to you right now. Our world changes right now when we start to look at each other in the way and the manner of which God has created each one of us to be. We're all unique and we're all rare. The problem is along the way, we hurt people and they hurt us. So we go, "Oh, God's using them. God can't use them. God uses them. God can't use them." You know what? Pam never gave up. Because God never gave up on Pam. Because she never forgot for 7 years she walked away from the Lord. And when she came back on that night, she came back with a vengeance because the Holy Spirit of the living God permeated her soul. And she knew that she was married to a man who did not know the Lord. Now, it took 3.5 years later. We're in church. I'm going to church with her 2-3 times a week. And, you know, I'm a religious guy. I got Jesus in my life, but he's not my life. You know what I mean? I'm in church 2-3 times a week. And 3 years later, we moved to South Florida. She was a headline entertainer on 7 major cruise lines, and I'd taken it. We moved because of the position. I was offered a position that normally is not offered to men my age. I was a regional marketing director for a Wall Street firm, but the particular territory, Florida, was a place where guys would go in their later careers because it was, you know, you got to handle a lot of money because people come from New York and they want to play golf at 3 o'clock. So I was offered a position that was I was way under my age, but it was all a bump in career. I was just going for that. But we moved to South Florida and we started attending church about 400 or 500 people. And over the next year, my wife is on fire. She's still serving the Lord. She's on the worship team. She's now a headline entertainer on 7 of the major cruise lines. And I'm doing my Wall Street thing, and I'm attending church when I could. And eventually, one of the guys invited me to have breakfast on August 2nd, 1991. Now, it's a day that I'll never forget because 26 years ago was the last day that I had a drink, last day I've ever, you know, had a line of cocaine. Haven't placed a bet, a compulsive gambler. All I can tell you, and by the way, he spared and broke into my marriage. What happened was he invited me to have breakfast. Now, he was an elder. When the elder invited me to have breakfast, I thought they were going to make me an elder. Okay, so you got to know I was spiritually prideful, too, in the midst of all of it. You know, I'm married to Pam Rozelle. Of course they want me to be an elder. I actually went to Pam and said, Pam, Jeff called. I think they're going to make me an elder. She's like, I don't think so, but you know what? You need to go. You know, it was like one of those kind of things. So I went down, had breakfast, and all I can tell you, I'll shorten it up. He said, Mike, have I loved you as a brother in the Lord? And I said, sure have. He said, good, you're not going to like me after breakfast. I said, why? What's up? He said, well, Lord, say something on my heart I want to share with you. I said, okay. He said, you're a phony. You wear a mask and you play with God. And you know it, I know it, and God knows it. And your wife told my wife. He did throw that in. Now, I'm telling you, I'm driving home and I'm thinking, oh man, I am so mad at this guy. How did he do? You know, I'd never been called out like that. And I started to kick back, like, pull the honking redwood out of your own eye, bro. You can't talk to me that way. I'm an usher and I got a badge. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart is a man who falls into trouble. Here's what was happening. I was asked to go to breakfast because I was a man who was exercising Proverbs 6. What Proverbs 6 is, it's the things, 7 things that God hates. 6 things that God hates, 7 are detestable. And I would sit back and I'd come to church, and because I wasn't right with God, I would bring like my cards with the numbers on them. Bob would give a message and I would be like, that's a 3. And I would start telling people, yeah, Bob didn't really bring it today, did he? And I started to have conversation that started to cause division. I started to come against the leadership of a ministry. And that's why they called me out. I went home and I read Proverbs 6 and I was broken. You know what's not in Proverbs 6? The things that God hates? Pedophilia, murder, adultery. That's not there. It's divisive people. False accusations. Why? It destroys. Don't entertain it. It brought me to brokenness. Better to fall down and be broken than have a rock fall on you and crush you. I got crushed. Here's a piece of clay that's had no water on it for just one day. I opened up the door to the house, and the power of conviction fell. And I just fell down. I started crying. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please, I did it. God, this is really a ministry that's ministry to so many. And oh, God, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me, Lord. Save my soul. Lord, set me free from this alcohol and cocaine. Lord, I so need you. God, can you forgive me? On August 2nd, 1991, the Lord picked me up. When I asked for forgiveness, He said, I already have. Your salvation is free. It cost me my son. It cost me everything. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. 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 I got in the car. I drove down the church. Pastor Bob, because I'm going to tell you what happened. What happened? I met with Deb. I'm so sorry for coming against you and coming against the ministry. Bob, you're not going to believe what happened. What happened? I went home and the Lord convicted me. I invited Jesus in my life and I just can't believe it. I said, I've been a phony for 3.5 years. He said, no kidding, Mikey. I said, did you know it? He goes, everybody knows that about you. I go, well, I'm not anymore. Here's what happened. He goes, you're born again. I said, Bob, I'm so born again. I go, what do I do? He said, you better go find Pammy. And I went and found Pam. I said, Pam, listen, Jesus, forgive me, will you? And she said, maybe. But here's what I want you to know. Listen, listen, listen. God didn't bring me to this place of brokenness to pay me back for my slanderous and gossip and my adultery and all of my stuff. He brought me to a place of brokenness, not to pay me back, but to bring me back. A potter takes a broken piece of clay. In my studio today, I got 35 buckets of clay that's broken pieces of shard that went into the water and is sitting there ready for me to reuse. I don't throw none of it away. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about drugs and alcohol and pornography and rage and hurts and pains and betrayal on both sides. God's using all the gunk. And may I also say this to you, when I start to get dirty, I know I love getting dirty. The Lord loves getting dirty. He's the potter. Listen, Jeremiah 18 says, go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah, and I'm going to give you a message. This is what God is going to say today. Like clay is in Mike's hands, so are you in my hands if I know you. If I don't know you today, I want you to know today is the day of salvation. Why? Today is the day that you're going to see that the clay got picked up and set on the rock. Let me say this to you now as a potter. Once the potter puts the clay on the wheel, I have 100,000% complete and absolute authority over this clay. I'm speaking today with an authority that God has given me in Matthew 28. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go into all the world. Mike, I want you to go to Wichita with all authority that's been given to me, and I want you to give the gospel, the good news. Okay, Lord. Okay. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something before we go any further. 50 pounds of dirt. I'm going to throw it into the most amazing vase. I'm telling you, I'm going to do it before I even do it. And when I do it, I'll tell you this. I'm going to do what happened in Jeremiah 18. Go to the potter's house, and I'm going to give you a message. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. He watched the potter work on the wheel. This is what it says. The pot that the potter was shaping from clay became broken in the potter's hand, became marred. And Jeremiah gives it a pause. It came broken. Oh, gosh. But then the potter did something. He formed it into another vessel that actually seemed better to him than the first one that he made. And then the message came to me, wrote Jeremiah, O house of Israel, O house of governed by God, O born again Christian, can I not do to you what the potter has just done to the clay? I promise I can, says the Lord. Like clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands. I'm going to crush this pot right before you. And like the first service and the 4,000 services I've done over the last 26 years, even though I tell you I'm going to do it, honestly, when I do it, people are still going to go, I'm going, man, I already told you I was going to do it. Now, this piece of clay, I was telling Pastor, he'd been praying for me in the first service. Oh, and Lord, because he's watched it, you know, he's been around the ministry forever. And Lord, just let the clay be really pliable this morning to Mike, you know. And I'm like, yes, Lord, because Patrick has no idea that it's been sitting in the back of the truck. And man, it's really hard right now. And then I went out and wedged up this clay. And I was telling one of the brothers, he goes, man, I hope the clay is not as hard as it was in the first service. I go, Too late, already is. I mean, this clay right now, I'm gonna tell you right now, this clay is gonna go, no, 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 no. If that's you, at the end of the service, don't say no, say yes. Because you say no long enough, your heart gets hard like that hard rock. Stay pliable. Consider what God is going to speak to you today. Don't ignore it or obey it. Those are your three choices. Consider it, reject it, or obey it. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. I took 8.5 pounds of clay and I made this picture. I formed it, I made it, I fired it, I glazed it, I filled it, and now I'm the one, the potter is the one that uses it. Jesus says, if you believe in me, as the scriptures have said, not only am I going to give you living water, but I'm going to fill your well to overflowing capacity. You can't be able to contain it. Here's the problem with the church and us. This is what was going on in my life for 3.5 years. And it will happen here today. The last prayer that I prayed before they introduced me was, Lord, take the lid around man's heart off. Lord, let the walls come down. Why? I'm going to be poured out. It doesn't matter to me if you believe what I'm sharing with you or not. Look back after 26 years of the life. The Bible says, walk into the orchard and check the fruit out. See if it exists. See if there's anything there. And after 26 years, you have to know when God gives man a vision, what's at the end of every vision, if it's a vision of God, is God. You can't excuse it away. You just have to, a lot of people do, but the fact of it is, it's God. I have a pastor after 29 years, 22,000 people, the largest Calvary chapel in the world. His kids have just spent 2.5 years with me. One of them's on her way to Africa. He blows up his life with an adulterous affair. The pastors are there are calling me going, the church is going to clap. There's going to be tumbleweeds through the parking lot. I go, be quiet. We didn't drink any Kool-Aid, man. The guy was teaching the word of God. He inspired us to apply the word of God. Yes, you're going to have fallout. Yes, it's going to be a difficult road back. Today, the church is completely and absolutely fully restored back. The man is not. It's not about a man. It's about God doing his work through his people. That's the only hope that this world has. Is it the power of God's love flowing through the hearts of his people? Now the question is, do you want to receive that love? Do you want to receive that grace? Like Pastor Chuck said to Pam, only you and Jesus know what you have received here tonight over the last 7 years that you walked away from him. The evidence, Pam, of what's real of took place here tonight will be demonstrated in how much grace and mercy that you'll pour on others who need it from you. Now, oftentimes we don't even know the people that we have to give it to, but you would be hard pressed to come into our lives and ask for us too and not get it. You see? On August 2nd, 1991, God took the lid around my heart off. And I fully understand today. If you believe in me, as the scriptures have said, not only going to give you living water, I'm going to fill your well to overflowing capacity. You won't be able to contain it. Listen, what God has done in the last 5 years at Pottersfield Ministries is more than he did in 21. 114 millennials from the age of 28, from 18 to 26 are serving on 4 continents. 15,000 children. I can't even begin to tell you. And this is this amazing thing that's going on. They're an amazing group of young men and women that want to do community. They want to turn the noise off. They want to see something genuine and real. And it's one of the most exciting things to be part of. Pastor Patrick and I, we both are on the same page when it comes to this. But you got to know something. Listen. For our generation, jump in. Come in. Be part of it. Come, I'm going to show you something right now. I went to my wife. I said, Pam, I've been a rotten husband. I haven't been the man God's called me to be. Will you forgive me? She said, maybe. And I told her what happened. And she shared with me what Pastor Chuck told her. The evidence will be seen in your hunger for the word and your desire to obey what God calls us to do. Now Pam goes to the Lord and goes, Lord Jesus, I know you've touched him. I see it. Oh, Lord, I never thought you would. And I love you, Jesus, so much. I just didn't know when you did that I was going to have to deal with this. I know you love him. I just don't. I don't even like him. Lord, would you soften my heart? Could you soften my heart towards Michael? You know what the Lord did? He softened your heart. Why? You don't have to pray for reconciliation. The Bible says that God gives a spirit of reconciliation. He gave my wife that message. How could she walk away from me when God didn't walk away from her? Watch what happens to a piece of clay that will yield to the Master's touch. A perfectly centered has given up all of its rights. Nothing left. Nothing left. It's all mine. This is my most favorite part of doing pottery. And this is why others have to drop the class. Because they can't learn to do this. Because if you can't center the piece of clay, you can't make a pot. It has to be perfectly centered. Jesus said, if you believe in me, as the scriptures have said, who does the scriptures say that he was? Savior of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe. August 2nd, 1991, I opened up my heart and he washed me in his blood, washed my sins clean, past, present, future. And then he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And here's another promise. If you believe me, as the scripture have said, not only am I going to give you living water, I'm going to fill your well. Ironically, when a potter puts a hole in a piece of clay, do you know what the term is? Well. A potter puts a well. If you believe in me, as the scripture said, not only am I going to give you living water, I'm going to fill your well to overflowing capacity. Now, here's the only problem about this well. It's shallow. The deep get called unto deep. Most people come to the Lord and they allow 2 inches to go down and they stay right there. And then they stay off-centered because of compromise. Now let me say you about this. This is an offset. Can you imagine how easy it is now for me to put this clay back in? If you really want to know, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if there's an area in your life that needs to be put back in the center, all you have to do is ask. By the way, that's off-centered. I can't do anything with it. I have to put it back in center. Here's what often happens, though. This off-center looks at this off-centered and goes, at least I'm not that. And this one goes, yeah, but check them out. Oh, Lord, you're the only one that can put me back in the center of your will for my life. And the faith that I need to walk in it. Watch what happens to a piece of clay that says, I'm in. I'm in. Not only do you have me, you have all of me. You have my time, my talent, my treasure. Lord, you have given me a life with the eternal perspective, not a temporal and secular one, but one that's heavenly. And with all that will come with it, the hurts, the pains, the heartaches, the struggles, Lord, would you give me the faith to know that my life serving you will be filled with so much uncertainty each and every day, but I can be certain that I know that in that uncertainty that you're going to work it out. Watch what happens. Jeremiah walked in the potter's house. He didn't find a white piece of clay, black piece of clay, Hispanic piece of clay, or an Asian piece of clay. It was a piece of clay. He didn't find a rich piece of clay, educated piece of clay, a not educated piece of clay, a poor piece of clay. It was a piece of clay. Ironically, he didn't find a Baptist piece of clay, independent or Southern. United Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Calvary Chapel, nor a Catholic piece of clay. It was a piece of clay. The question is, as your world looks on and looks at your life as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, do they see a life lived by God with the promise of Ephesians 3:20. Here's what it is. Here's what I have for you. Exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything that you can hope for or imagine. The word exceedingly is a word that literally translates from the Greek. It's outside of our origin and ability. It's way, way outside. This came out really nice, huh? Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, gets commanded by God to go to the house of Jesse. Most of you know the story. Saul's getting removed because he's been in rebellion against God. God speaks to the prophet, go to the house of Jesse. One of Jesse's boys is going to be king. Samuel goes down, sees the first son, Benadad, looks at him. There's seven boys. He goes, you're the king. Got to be you. The Lord says, it's not him. Oh, it's not. Second son, Eliab comes out and he goes, well, if it's not the first one, second one. Lord says, not him either. No, it's not. Third son comes, Shammah. It's got to be you, man. And the Lord said, Samuel, no, it's not him. And listen up. Man looks at the outward, but I, your God, I see the heart. I see the gunk. I see the hypocrisy. I see the lack of commitment to my word. The stretching, the stain. I see the stuff. I sat in the pastor's office, and I got to tell you, man, he sat me down. And what changed my life on this day was the day that he confronted me. You see, I always had this great story. I was born in 1959 to a woman that had another son from the same dad as my older brother. And my dad, I was born on the 8th day of October, 59. My parents were married, but my dad left for another woman at Christmas of 1959, 3 months after I was born, with a home with no water, electricity. And divorce was not something prevalent in the United States at this time. I mean, literally, it was very rare. It wasn't even a word that people even knew in growing up. That we, you know, it wasn't a word that was even used. We moved in with my grandparents, so that created a kind of a, you know, creepy home environment back then. Today, you know, it's just a way of life. My grandfather died on Thanksgiving Day when I was 5. I had a lot of loss. What someone did with me in 7 minutes of my life set me back for 20-some years. I was filled with so much hatred and anger and pain, and I killed it with drugs, alcohol, and sex. And then I got born again. But then the work began. And a man sat down with me, a pastor on staff at Calvary Chapel, and he sat me down and he said, Mike, you keep throwing things through windows and ripping, you know, your rear mirrors off and stuff. This is not anger, man. This is rage. I know. When girls come through our program now, and before they come, obviously there's been some real healing, but they are cutters. They say, you don't understand cutting. I go, I fully understand cutting. I didn't cut myself. I just broke things that are valuable to me. I needed to kill the pain. It was a different kind of cutting. We just didn't do that back then. And here's where I take them, same place that Pastor John took me. He said, Mike, I want you to go spend the weekend in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. First verse. It's a pool of Bethesda, healing pool. Theory goes that an angel comes down from heaven, troubles the water, and people jump in. The very first one goes in, gets healed. Now, keep in mind, I'm still talking about 1 Samuel. When God spoke to Samuel and said, it's not the first three, the fourth one came. Now, the prophet's in tune with the God. So when the fourth son, fifth son, sixth son, seventh son comes forward and none of them are the new king, he never questioned if this was the right house. He knew it was the right house. He questioned the dad. And here's what he asked the father. Do you have, Jesse, do you have any other boys? His father's response in Hebrew would be, sorta. Can you imagine your dad going, kinda? Well, he goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, I got Dave. He's with the sheep. We'll go get him. Do you know how healing that is for a man who grew up in a home where no one saw the gifts and talents? Not one of my parents have any of my early pots. They hated me doing pottery. They could not see my gifts. And they were evident. My mom today is on staff in Montana. And it's part of her testimony. They were just concerned that if I did pottery, that I would smoke pot. And I was like, too late. Did that way before I touched clay. Now, the point was, is that I sat in this fifth chapter, first verse of John, and it was life-changing for me. Here's why. John writes it this way. Jesus walks up. By the way, this healing pool in Bethesda, they're surrounded with people with emotional and physical health. Most of you guys know the story. But John's account, he walks up to him, and Jesus walks up to this man. And it says that this man that Jesus is going to speak to, you gotta listen to this one. This is great. Does not know who the Lord is. I love it. So Jesus, just another guy, walks up and sees this guy laying there, and he's on a mat, and he goes, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man looks up to the Lord, and he goes, "I've been here for 38 years. I don't have any friends. I have nobody to help me into the pool." And I tell you, the Lord speaks to Mario. He says, "You're this man, my king." I said, "Lord, how am I this man?" Because every time I ask you that same question, you don't answer. And you do exactly what he does. You answer it the way he did. What? Do you want to be healed? I've been here for 38 years. Lord, I've been here for 36 years. And I keep going back to the same story. This guy tells you he doesn't have any friends to help him. And I keep telling you that my dad left when I was 3 months old and no one was at my Little League game and what that guy did to me in those 7 minutes and what happened in this and that and what this. And I would just give him this long laundry list of all of this and I'm stuck on a mat. And I went and shared with Pam what the Lord had showed me. He said, "I'm this man. He wants to heal me, but I keep telling him his story." And she said, "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." The evidence of which you're able to forgive others is to the degree of which you must realize how much forgiveness you personally need. I needed to let it go. I needed to get off my mat. I needed to stop going back. I needed to let it go, get off the mat, and start charging towards heaven. And she said, "Do you want to do that?" I said, "I do." She went and got oil. My wife puts me in her lap, and I start breaking like a baby. Told you. I wish I had it. Here's what it looks like in the audience. It was never going to be a vase. It was always going to be a bowl. Let me tell you about bowls. I've already made the walls the way that they are. It's already, but now I have to do something. And this is something I want you to consider when you're examining the fruit of someone's life. I now have to stretch it. I have to stretch this into a bowl that it is so obvious to those who are watching that it's impossible for anyone to stretch it themselves. Faith is living with the promises and the absolute confidence what God has said even before the fullness of the promise has ever been made. Pam and I stepped into ministry out of the world. She was a headline entertainer on 7 major cruise lines. I was a regional marketing director of Wall Street firm. Porsche, Mercedes, Rolex watches, closet full of Italians. Suits. Stepped into ministry, called by God. This has never been a ministry of Mike and Pam Rozelle. It's always been a ministry of Jesus Christ. A gift. Amen. And today I have the incredible privilege of serving with an awful lot of people. Thousands of poor, hundreds of churches that have had the privilege of over 100 short-term mission trips with us around the world and have seen the work that God has done. And it is the work that God does. Is it easy? No. Is it hard? Yeah. But My first mission trip, I saw 100 kids that never did this. Never had a drink of clean water. I didn't come home and cry. I came home and got mad. Why? That's wrong. I don't know what I can do for all who have, but I can get something to somebody who doesn't have, because I have an abundance of. And then I started looking at those who were abundant in worldly things, but weren't doing this. And I started doing that, and I lived in a 900 square foot apartment, and I had a joy and a peace. I had a better life than those who had the good life. And I started seeing other people that had a better life, and it started to hit me and Pam that the good life is the one that's living for eternity. To be an American, there's 394 million Americans. To live here in the United States, you're going to have a good life. My first trip to Africa in 2009, I flew there with Pastor Don McClure. Got in 11:30 at night, got in a canoe, went out to this little island, 1.4 acres, called Makusa. On 1.4 acres, 400 people were living. I was helping the canoe come along a shore, which wasn't a shore, it was about a foot, and then the shanty. And in the air, the pastor that we were visiting, Craig Lindquist, Alan Redpath's grandson, I hear this, no! I had landed into their potty. Yeah. I spent 13 hours on this island. I came back that day and I called Pam and I had my first emotional breakdown. I had about seen, by the way, this was not my first rodeo. I'd been all over the world, but I'd never been on anything or seen anything like this. And in my hotel that night, I just started crying. I said, I'm coming home again. I'm so mad. Oh, God, Pam. Oh, my, I'm way over my head. Oh, God, Pam, this is like so crazy. You wouldn't believe there are 250 kids that don't have nothing. Oh, my God, how are we going to help them? And then there's 31 islands. She goes, babe, what's wrong? I said, you can't believe what I've witnessed here today. She said, just calm down. Can I pray for you? I said, yes. She said, Lord Jesus, my husband is 16,000 miles away. He's tired and he's hungry. And I'm not there, but you are, Jesus, in that room with him right now. So would you please fill him afresh as the leader called by you to honor you, as others follow him as he follows you and pull himself up by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the bootstraps, and he wouldn't shrink back. He wouldn't fall back. He wouldn't do anything other than stay in this war. She just gave me this Navy SEAL preaching. You got to know Pam, JoJo, yeah? And I said, thank you, Pam, and you're coming to Africa with me next year. She did. We started a school that we didn't know what we were doing. After that trip in 09, I'm standing on the curb. I stayed and finished the trip. The pastor looked at me and said, Mike, send me all the money in the world. But if you don't send me hands and feet, we're not going to get anything done. I got on the plane that night, and I knew that whatever school we had in Montana had just become a school. And it wasn't going to be a 3 month vacation. It was become a 1 year, 18 to 26. Absolute. Lay your life down. Turn your technology off. Come, don't come. We don't care. But if you'll do that, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to have to talk to Jesus, and you're going to find something else out. He really will talk back. Because what we're all getting ready to do is to go over to Africa and help this guy do what he's doing because he needs some help. We ended up in Africa, and then we ended up in Uganda, the Congo, Cambodia, rescuing children out of sex trafficking. We gotta wake up, church. I'm serious, man. There's 7 billion people on planet Earth, 394 live in the United States. We gotta start living vertically, man, instead of horizontally. I'm going to stretch this bowl. Have I been stretched since 09? Oh, dear brothers and sisters. I never dreamt in my wildest dream, man. I still remember flying up Coast Highway up from Huntington to Newport in my 9/11 with my top off and this great man here. And now I'm in a canoe going to an island where people are living in conditions with a medical outreach in ways that matter. You got to know, when you're in a canoe in Africa, and then the Lord laid this on our heart to start this little hamburger thing called Mudman Burgers, because sponsorship just couldn't hold it, what we needed. I started this little coffee hut hamburger thing. It's blown up in Montana. And we're building centers on these islands. And get outside the box. Look at, dream. Dream for the kingdom. He can take the foolish things of the world, a broken marriage, a drug addict, a mind polluted with pornography, and inspire and encourage to fill you, to see as he sees, and to care as he cares. This doesn't look like nothing, but when I'm done, it's going to be a stunning bowl. Pastor Don McClure came to me and asked me, would I be willing to start Pottersfield Kids? I said, if you would be willing to spend 1 week. Now, he is the chairman of CCA that oversees the 1600 with other men. I said, I'll do it if you and Gene pray about coming up once a month to teach, and to teach character studies of the Bible. That was in 05. He has not missed 1 month. He'll be coming next week too. He hasn't missed 1 month except the week that his mom and his brother died on the same day. 71-year-old man is running me into the ground. We have traveled over 60 international trips together. And last week in our school, class 14, he literally said, this is one of the most exciting works that I've ever been part of, because it reminds me when I spent a year in Cape and Ray, England with Alan Redpath to watch young men and women who are saying, enough. We want the real deal. Listen, it starts with all of us individually. What can we do to help? Reach out your hand. Together, we can make a difference. And you know why? I get a firsthand account and watching it make a difference. But it takes a lot of us doing a little bit. It doesn't take one person carrying the load. A lot of us just doing a little bit. The problem is, you can always find a reason why you don't do any of it. But you'll give an account for it. Now, I'm going to stretch this bowl, and then I'm going to present the good news of the gospel. Here's how you get started. Change. Just your change. Over and above your tithe, sponsor one of these kids. An intern that goes through the program, we charge them $20 a day, $600 a month. The cost of the ministry is $3,000 a month. And over 300 interns from the Ignite program have been through the field. And we're bringing them home and we're sending them back to their church, because honestly, we need millennials kicking in the gates of hell here in this country. But can I tell you this? We're also in January 19, we'll be starting our first Ignite program in Uganda and Guatemala, because they too, we're going to raise up the nationals. We're going to start putting Ignite programs in all the countries that we're in. And we're going to send the nationals back to their country to have an impact on their country. A lot of us doing a little bit. We're going to lose the next generation by generation if we don't step up. Sponsor over and above your tithe. $20 a month. My wife just finished her book, 25 Years, Stones of Remembrance. I wanted her to put, you can't make this stuff up. I'll give this to you today. I got to close. A young man came up to me, he said, man, I want a sponsor. This is 18 years ago, I'll never forget him. He goes, great. I go, how old are you? He goes, I'm 21. I'm a graduate from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I said, man, You have no dough, you're in school? I am so impressed that you'd be willing to make a sacrifice. He goes, it's not a sacrifice, I'm just paying it forward. How are you paying it forward? He holds up, he says, I'm one of these kids. Someone sponsored me my whole life. I wasn't raised in the United States. I grew up in Juarez, Mexico. And I get to go to school here in the United States, and I want to do what someone else did for me at whatever the cost. I'm like, so you're like a full-grown sponsor kid now going to school in the United States, like with a picture on the icebox sponsor kid? He goes, well, I don't know where they put my picture, but yeah. I said, oh my gosh, give me a hug. I've never met a full-grown sponsor kid. And he said, no, you're dirty. I looked down and I said, I am. Lord, how come I don't see the clay the way that others do? I love it on me. I love the smell of it. I got it in my arm. I got it in my toes. I love it, Lord. Why do I love getting dirty? He said, because when you're dirty, you've been working. Lord, you love our dirt. Yes. But you have to give it to me. I won't take it. And if you think you're clean, you're deceived. All have sinned. All need a Savior. Here's what's in store. Lord, what happens after I'm done working? Why do I love getting dirty while I'm working? You know that answer too, Mike. Why? Because I see them. Yes. The reason the potter doesn't mind getting dirty, this is why. I designed that in my kitchen table. I had 50 pounds on the wheel. Three of these make that. And I can tell you, I could put 150 pounds in a hole. I don't care what kind of explosion happens. It will not end up like this. This was designed and created. Now the Bible says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's blessing. I looked at that last week, said, so oftentimes we look at that like, hey, we finished, we're in. That's not it. That pot was already done. I already made it before I even started working it. What happened was when I opened up the kiln, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. Unbelievable. I ran around my studio calling Pam, God pot, God pot. The blessing was that the pot allowed me to make it and mold and shape into what I already knew it was going to be. And I was blessed. Let me give you another example. 4,000 times before this, before I ever began this service or this ministry, the Lord already showed me that I would never be able to keep any of the pots that I made. I had to throw all my creations away. Write a song and don't put your name on it. Do something that no one else can do and don't take credit for it. Because Mikey, you will take credit for those bowls. And I want you to leave them with the only potter there is. You are just clay in my hands with the gift of making a pot that I gave you. Designed, created by God to be used by God. The only hope our world has is the power of God's love, grace, and mercy flowing through the hearts of His people. Now, I know there's someone looking at that today, and I get it. That would look great in my house. He hung on a cross. He said, you're going to look great in my Father's house. But there's no other way to my Father unless you come through me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. There is an eternal God of the universe that really does love you, and He really does want to attach Himself to your life, and He really does have a purpose and a plan. He wants to put passion and emotion and relationship. He wants to put something in it that's real and genuine. He wants you to do that, and He'll put other people around you, and it will be contagious. There is good news, and it needs to start to be good news. All power on heaven and earth has been given to me to give. That's what he said. Go. Go right here, Wichita. Go to your Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Go to the outer parts of the world. I get this privilege to do all four. One's not more important than the other, but to go is the important thing. But to go, you got to come. And if you're not willing to come, then how is he going to send? So here's the deal. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you get an opportunity to do that. You open up your heart and you put your faith with your feet and you come. I remember that time I got saved on the piano. There's no doubt in my mind that day. But night later, I'm standing there with Pam and the Lord starts prompting me to go forward publicly. And I'm wrestling with God going, God, why would you? I told Bob, I told everybody I know I'm born again. And the Lord has called me publicly. I'm going, oh, Lord, what will all these people think about me? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Mikey, consider how much no one is thinking about you. And it was like my first born-again Christian thought. I'm like, wow, no one is, you know. Then I leaned over to my wife. I go, Pam, I feel like the Lord would have me to go. Would you go? And she said, yeah. Now, she's on the radio. She's on the word. Everyone's going to recognize Pam Rozelle. She didn't give a rip. He that the Son sets free is free indeed.